start doing it, like, when I go back to the very first days, like, you do a little bit, and you're lit for, like, 24 hours until the next day. A lot of times, I'll be throwing up because you get too high.
That's Nicole, a recovering heroin addict living in Milwaukee, talking at a coffee shop on the city's east side about her own beginnings with addiction. In 2016, there were 343 people in Milwaukee who died of a drug overdose. Over half of the deaths were related to opioids.
That you don't want to experience. It's not like you do it day after day, but then eventually when you start doing it more, then those effects go away and you can do it more and more. And then eventually, without you even realizing it, all of a sudden you wake up and your eyes are watering and you're sneezing uncontrollably and yawning and you're freezing, but you're sweating. And then all of a sudden it's like, shit, I have a habit.
Determined to stay clean and not become another statistic, Nicole is an example of the struggle many in the community face every day with their addictions. Without treatment, the next step could be death. Deputy Medical Examiner Dr. Wislawa Talamik says that Milwaukee's overdose problem has increased over time.
I think that I have been working in this office for almost 11 years right now, and the number of drug overdoses increases. I don't have the exact data, but within the last 2-3 years, the number almost doubled.
Dr. Andrew Kolodny is an addiction specialist at Brandeis University.
So there's basically two groups of Americans that are opioid addicted, a younger group and an older group. The younger, both are getting addicted from use of prescription opioids. The older group of Americans who are opioid addicted are, generally their opioid addiction is developing from treatment for pain. When they get addicted, they don't have to go to the black market. They're seeing doctors, and their insurance is paying for the doctor's visit, and their insurance is paying for that prescription. That younger group, their opioid addiction can develop either from recreational use or medical use, or sometimes a combination of brief medical exposure, sports injury, wisdom teeth, they like the effect, and then use recreationally and then switch. But, you know, this younger group that's getting addicted, they wind up on the black market. They're more likely to be engaged in crimes to maintain their opioid supply. They're more likely to use heroin.
Gina is a single mother whose son struggled with heroin. She raised Jordan in Fox Point and Glendale.
So he was a North Shore boy. Yeah, he was geeky smart. It was weird because he was like a mix of people. He was part jock. He was total nerd too, but he didn't look like a nerd. But he was totally a nerd. He just didn't look like it.
Jordan moved out of the house at 22, and that was when Gina noticed a change.
He just had very odd behavior, like he'd be, you know, manic, and then he'd be, like, very sleepy and all the time, and not, you know, I just couldn't put my finger, I didn't know what was going on. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. But I'm knowing that my son is acting very peculiar. And, you know, in a mother's mind, you don't want to believe something like that. So, you know, he started, money started missing all the time. My bank account overdrafting constantly. My cards disappearing. My car disappearing. It was like living in hell. It was terrible. And being that I'm a single parent, you know, I can't pay my bills because my money's disappearing. You know, it was just a nightmare.
Gina isn't sure when Jordan's opioid addiction started. It could have been after meeting a drug-addicted friend, or it could have been after Jordan was prescribed opioids for an injury.
People that are related to addicts, family members and whatnot, it turns your world upside down. Like, from every aspect. Mentally, emotionally, financially, everything. So, it isn't just a problem that affects one person. It affects a broad range. It affects all your friendships, affects all your romantic relationships, all your family relationships, it affects everything. Finally, you know, he comes to me and tells me, Mom, I have a problem.
Jordan was sent to a state-run inpatient treatment center in Madison. But during his stay, Gina realized that he just wasn't getting better.
It was, like I said, county-run. And unfortunately, I don't know if they don't have the funding or what the problem is, but they don't. A lot of the kids that are there are not there by choice. They're there because they were court ordered or whatever. So my son was in a mix of a lot of people that were court ordered there, and they weren't serious about getting well.
Gina believes some patients snuck in heroin. Jordan and another patient shot up. The other guy ended up in a coma, and Jordan overdosed and was hospitalized from the episode, according to his mother. Over the next several years, Jordan bounced in and out of various treatment centers across the U.S.
But the problem is that it's very expensive, extremely expensive. And unless you're wealthy, you know, how are you going to be able to afford it as a parent? You want your child to be okay. But you're basically, from a single parent standpoint, you're screwed. If you don't, you really are screwed because you can't get the funding and the money to help your kid, to keep them safe and okay.
Eventually, Gina found a treatment center near Houston that would accept their insurance plan. But after about 2 weeks, Jordan called his mom and told her he wasn't happy in Texas. Gina proposed that he transfer to a facility near family in Phoenix, an idea he took a liking to. Gina wanted Jordan to take a plane, but Jordan insisted on taking a bus. He said the plane was just too expensive.
I only listened to my son because he said, Mom, it'll be okay. It's just a 24-hour ride. He said, I'll be okay.
Jordan was dropped off at 7 p.m. in downtown Houston at a Greyhound station, an unknown place in an unfamiliar city. His scheduled departure was nearly 6 hours later. Jordan never made it to Phoenix because he never got on a bus at all.
He was literally found 2 blocks from there on a stoop. Yeah, outside a building. Probably people walking by thinking, you know, he's just a drunk, but, you know, fell asleep. I lost the most important person in my life. He was my son was my everything. We were so close. He was everything to me. He was the love of my life, and I lost him. I'll never have a grandchild. I'll never see him get married. I'll never see him graduate from college. Nothing.
While the details of that night are not entirely clear, the Harris County Medical Examiner's report determined the cause of death was a combined effect of heroin, codeine, methorphan, methamphetamine, and venlafaxine. Part of what made this concoction so lethal was the combination of antidepressants and opioids.
Both opioids and benzodiazepines are central nervous system depressants. So their effect on central nervous system is very similar. So they act together. And what it means that even if you don't necessarily need to have a lethal or toxic dose, because the effect of all these medications will add to each other. So the levels might be lower, but because they are taking all together, they will cause death.
Mixing these two drugs also seems to be a common theme in Milwaukee County. More than 23% of fatal drug overdose victims have combined the two. There are hundreds of other deaths across the country that tell a story similar to Jordan's. Here in Milwaukee, Nicole has been clean for over a year, but the haunting echoes of addiction are still a stark reality.
It's really easy to want things to not be shitty anymore, but then things are cool again, and when you're used to, like, living a certain lifestyle, that desire to, like, want a party doesn't go away. So it's like hard, and the longer you're clean, the less dramatic that bad time was. You know, it's kind of like it really is like a breakup with somebody you loved. You know, like when you first break up, you remember all the terrible things. But the longer you're apart, you start romanticizing all the good time, and you forget about all the shitty ones. So it's like, maybe I'll call him again. Maybe I'll get high again, you know, and it's just a nightmare.